Hey, you, looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together. This is the Stingray Show, and coming up on this edition, we are going to be doing a preview of what is known as the Magnolia Bowl over in the state of Mississippi between arch rivals LSU and Ole Miss. This is a pretty nasty rivalry that dates back multiple decades. And we're going to be joined by Ole Miss insider David Johnson and a former LSU tight end, Logan Stokes, who had a big career touchdown catch in that game to upset the Ole Miss Rebels back in 2014. We're going to preview this game from both sides on this edition of the Stingray Show, as this is the Magnolia Bowl preview show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I'm going to look. No.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, we want to welcome you inside another edition of the Stingray Show. We are discussing the Magnolia Bowl between Ole Miss and LSU. It is, like I said off the top of the show, a very nasty rivalry between the two fan bases and between the two schools. We are going to begin this evening talking about this game from the Rebels of Ole Miss's side with Ole Miss insider Mr. David Johnson. David, how are things with you in Oxford, Mississippi, as you guys await the Magnolia Bowl and the rivalry with LSU?
Yeah, traffic is congested already. You know, I'm going to send my wife to the grocery store tomorrow, and that's going to be it for her venturing out until around noon Sunday.
Yes.
You know, Oxford is not built for a game of this size and magnitude. There won't be an empty seat in the house Saturday afternoon. And, you know, it's just like a carnival around here. You know, everybody's excited. You've got two nationally ranked football teams. And as you and I were talking off the air, I just don't know if there's enough empirical evidence in yet to say, hey, these two or three teams have separated themselves from the rest of the SEC. And this is a game that's going to help kind of determine that pecking order moving ahead.
All right, David, if you would talk a little bit about the history of the LSU and Ole Miss rivalry that is known as the Magnolia Bowl.
Yeah, and look, I really don't know anybody in Oxford that calls it the Magnolia Bowl.
Okay.
I know they've been calling it that for, you know, a couple of decades now, but it's just LSU.
Yes.
And, you know, they play for – you know, I don't want to upset anybody, but the ugliest rivalry trophy in all of sports. You know, a win over LSU is a win over LSU, and I'm sure they feel the same. But, you know, Ole Miss fans do not like LSU fans.
Right.
And LSU fans do not like Ole Miss fans. And it goes back to, you know, even probably before Billy Cannon's Halloween touchdown run, and Burt Jones and his magic turn back the clock, 3 seconds or 7 seconds or whatever that was. I think back in the year I was born, 1971 or somewhere around there. You know, and, I tell you what, the first Ole Miss football game I ever went to, they were playing LSU and I was just a little kid and I went with my uncle and, I remember being there in all my red and blue and everything. And this game was in Jackson at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Anytime Ole Miss played LSU back then, they'd always have that game in Jackson. And, there were a couple of like 80-year-old LSU women fans behind us. And, every time Ole Miss would do something, you know, we'd cheer. And every time LSU would do something, they would literally hit us in the head with these purple and gold pom-poms on wooden sticks. And, you know, it was, that was my first taste of the Ole Miss LSU rivalry. And LSU ended up skunking us. So we got a couple of bumps on our head that night.
Yes. Go ahead.
I could talk about those old women all night long.
So if you would, let's go to the Arkansas game. That, of course, was a conference game for Ole Miss, and Ole Miss had issues stopping Arkansas with Pete Golding's defense. Recap that game for us, please, the Arkansas game versus Ole Miss.
Yeah, Taylen Green. I mean, that's why Ole Miss had issues to a large degree. And he's going to create those kind of issues for everybody Arkansas plays this year. I mean, if they could not fumble the football inside a minute left to go in a game, they may have won their last two. Mm-hmm. But instead, they've lost to Ole Miss. They've lost to Memphis. And, you know, that's why I really think the verdict is still out on a lot of teams. You know, LSU, yeah, they dominated southeastern Louisiana. I mean, no surprises there. Ole Miss is 2-0 in the SEC.
Yeah.
But they've beaten a terrible Kentucky team and an Arkansas team that's proven very good at shooting itself in the foot, right at the last moment. So,
yes.
You know, that's, you know, so I don't think you can hang a lot on those two victories. I do think Ole Miss is coming off their most impressive win of the year over Tulane last weekend. But I got to be honest with you. I just don't know. I mean, I look at Georgia. They beat Austin Peay 28-0. I mean, that doesn't instill a lot of confidence. Texas has already lost one to Ohio State, and Arch Manning has struggled. Right now, probably the best-looking team in the SEC – to me, it is Texas A&M.
So we are up against our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to dive into the matchup this weekend there in Oxford between the LSU Tigers and the Ole Miss Rebels. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter futures for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227. To schedule an appointment to build your financial security, the Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. An accident on Lurleen Wallace at University Boulevard. Trailing north on Lurleen Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland. It's a 9-minute drive. Also eastbound on McFarland at University. We've got an accident there. If you're traveling north on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's a 9-minute drive. North on Highway 69 from McFarland to Mitlary Road, a 7-minute drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Buck.
Season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. It's streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We are previewing Ole Miss and LSU. We started with Ole Miss with David Johnson. He is joining us, who is an Ole Miss insider. And David, when you look at this Ole Miss offense, where do you feel like that they could take advantage of the LSU defense?
Yeah, Stephen, I don't think it matters who's at quarterback. In terms of Ole Miss can take advantage with their wide receivers. They've got a group of wide receivers this year that rival the group they had last year. Right. When you're talking about Harrison Wallace, the transfer from Penn State, Deshaun Stribling, the transfer from Oklahoma State, you've got Caden Lee coming back after a great year last year with Ole Miss. And then you've got some tight ends that can catch the football. Right. Daquan Wright, the transfer from Virginia Tech. I think Ole Miss is a grade A in terms of talent and depth at wide receiver and tight end, particularly when they get Luke Haas back, the transfer from Arkansas, who's been out with injuries. So, you know, but in addition to those guys, Ole Miss has something this year they couldn't find last year, and that is a ground game. Yeah. And that is led by Missouri transfer Kewan Lacy. He was really close to choosing Ole Miss out of high school, decided to give Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri a shot, went up there for a year. And from what I can hear, everybody at Missouri was like, hey, this kid was going to play for us this year, but he didn't like it in Como, and he's in Oxford, and he's been running crazy. And a former LSU guy, Logan Diggs, transferred, sat out last year while recovering from an ACL injury. He's coming back, running with some authority as well, too. I already mentioned the offensive line. They're doing a much better job really protecting the quarterbacks and opening up some running games. So you know, this is an offense that sans Jackson Dart might be a little better than what they put on the field last year.
Right.
If you can, you know, go that far. And I think you can.
David, one thing I've noticed about this Ole Miss defense is, and this is not a backhanded comment, they're good when they need to be. And that's exactly what you want out of your defense, is you need them to step up. Perfect example, the Arkansas game here a couple of weekends ago. You know, they weren't looking too good. They weren't looking too polished, but they got the stop when they needed it. We've seen them do this time and time and time again under Kiffin. Is it a mindset? Is it what's going on? Or is it pure luck? I don't know what it is, but I know it's consistent and it's leading to wins. They're not good all the time, but they're good when they need to be, and that's the most important.
Well, you ask if it's a mindset under Lane Kiffin, but I'd proffer you that it's a mindset under defensive coordinator Pete Golding.
Okay.
And I've known Pete for, man, almost 30 years. I covered Pete when he was playing safety as a little short guy over at Delta State. And let me tell you something. Pete was gritty, grimy, and got the job done back then. All 5'8" of him, or ever how tall he is, playing safety in the Gulf South Conference, which back then was known as the Little SEC. So, you know, Pete's always had that fight about him. And, you know, I think the defense really takes on his character. And, you know, I got to roll that credit out to him. Lane as a head coach is more of an offensive-minded guy. Not that he doesn't coach defense, or not that he doesn't want the defense to do well. You know, the offense is Lane's, the defense is somebody else's. And for the last several seasons, it's been Pete Golding's. So I'd give that credit to Pete. They kind of take off his personality and his demeanor a little bit there.
We all know that Lane is just wonderful with offense. I mean, that's not a secret to anybody. But he is Monty Kiffin's son. He's got to know something about defense. He had to grow up in that household listening about defense all the time. You know, with that being said, what's the one thing you like most about this defense this season? We're only a couple of games in, but what do you like about this Rebel defense this season so far?
Yeah, I like how a couple of the young guys up front have been playing. A guy from your neck of the woods, Cam Franklin, who played at Lake Cormoran High School. Cam is having an exceptional season. And then a guy from Houston, Mississippi, Will Eccles. Both of those guys have been playing with a little dominance and a little force up front. So I like what I'm seeing from them. I like how Suntarian Perkins is playing. And honestly, I like how the entire secondary is improving each week by week. So I think there are a lot of things to like about this defense. Last year's defense, 7 guys now on NFL rosters. They led the SEC in sacks. Not an easy job for anybody to try to rebuild. Pete has done an admirable job in that, I think. Again, working through the transfer portal. And then, you know, Eccles and Franklin, both high school recruits. Ole Miss identified early, recruited them hard, got them to Oxford. And they're both having great years at this point.
All right. So when you look at this matchup, where are you most concerned about Ole Miss that LSU could take advantage of them?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's one guy, Garrett Nussmeier. Okay. I mean, he could be the best quarterback in the country. Again, I don't think we know yet, but he could be. He could be a first-round draft pick. You know, and if he goes off, even though the Ole Miss secondary, I think, is getting better each and every week, I don't know that there's much they can do about that.
Right.
That's my main area of concern. That and whether or not Lane's got anything dialed up in particular for LSU linebacker Whit Weeks.
Yes.
we'll see. He says he doesn't. Great family. Great Whit and Landry are together. But, we'll see. They're going to play football Saturday afternoon. Y'all come on over and watch the game. It'll be fun.
So how do you see the game in Oxford playing out, as right now LSU is a 1.5-point favorite? Who wins, Ole Miss, LSU, Saturday afternoon in Oxford?
Yeah, nobody take this as gambling advice, okay? I want to throw that out there. And again, Stephen and I were talking off the air, Heath, and we were talking about, you know, has any SEC team or group of teams started separating themselves from the pack? I don't think they have. No. And that includes both these teams we're going to watch play Saturday afternoon, LSU and Ole Miss. LSU looked like they had a great win over Clemson. That's turned out to really be a mediocre win.
Yeah.
I do think Ole Miss is the best team that they will have played thus far. I also think LSU is the best team Ole Miss will have played. Mm-hmm. It's in Oxford, which is becoming each and every year a more difficult place for teams to visit. And I think it's pandemonium's going to be holding high carnival Saturday in Oxford. It'll start about lunchtime tomorrow when all these Cajuns start pulling into town. And then all these rebels start pulling into town. And Friday night, it'll be so thick you can't cut it with a knife.
Right.
And it'll go on all the way through Saturday night. It won't stop for breakfast. I mean, it's going to jump straight from Friday night into pre-gaming. So I think it's going to be a classic Ole Miss LSU showdown that we've become accustomed to in recent years. If I were going to put money on it, I'd put it on the home team. Yep. I think the red and blue win this game. And I think there's a reason Ole Miss opened as a 1.5-point favorite over LSU. Steven just said that trend has changed by now. So the LSU is favored, but I think Ole Miss is going to win by the skin of their teeth. And Cajun fans are not going to be happy with Brian Kelly once again.
So, look, David, this has been an absolute blast. We always thoroughly enjoy you joining us. Good luck to Ole Miss this weekend. I will leave you with this. Hotty toddy, and go enjoy it, my friend.
Hotty toddy. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Heath. Appreciate you guys.
Okay. So, Heath, that is going to wrap up the very exciting interview there with David Johnson. Really do want to thank him. He is nothing but a class act and always entertaining when we have him on. Now, when we come back on the other side of this break, we are going to be joined by a former LSU tight end who had a huge catch in this game back in 2014 to seal the win for the LSU Tigers. Tight end Logan Stokes joins us on the other side of this break to talk about this matchup from the LSU side. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch. Makes them bang into each other. Stays on his feet. Breaks the tackle.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide start SEC play against the Georgia Bulldogs. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort.
DC
HCH Regional Medical Center.
Two Dimes, Tuscaloosa.
And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Crimson Tide Football, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Your old pal Spooky here, welcome you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze, Spook Trail 269, Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be in at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up with David Johnson, Ole Miss insider, talking about this matchup from the Ole Miss side. And now we're going to discuss it from the LSU side. And we're going to throw you guys a little bit of a curveball, because usually when we do these interviews, we get beat writers. However, tonight I'm about to be joined by an individual who played in this matchup back in 2014, who had the game-winning touchdown to upset number 3 Ole Miss for the LSU Tigers. He is a native of Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Please help me welcome back to the Stingray Show, Mr. Logan Stokes, who was a tight end for the LSU Tigers. Logan, how are things with you as the LSU Tigers sit here getting ready to invade Oxford, Mississippi?
Stingray, first off, thank you so much for the introduction. That was great, by the way. Hey, I played in 2013 and 14.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you so much for the introduction. And, hey, the Tigers are 4-0, so I'm doing great, Stingray. How about you? How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Unfortunately, though, we're already 5 weeks into the season. It is flying by.
Going so fast, isn't it? It seems just like yesterday. I was getting so anticipated for that Clemson game, and now we're in the Ole Miss. It just happens so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, you blink your eye, you're in week 5 right now. That quick.
So, Logan, let's go on ahead and start this interview talking about your catch against Ole Miss that was the game-winning touchdown pass there in 2014 as you guys upset number 3, Ole Miss. Walk us through that play and what that excitement was like for you to have the game winner against Ole Miss.
Yeah, so that was a great play for me, Stingray, but if you go back, I think that entire drive, Stingray, I don't think it gets enough credit, right? Yeah. It was a 93-yard, 12-play drive, and we ran the ball 11 plays in a row. We just warmed right down the field.
Yeah.
Just handoff, left, right, up the gut. We literally just imposed our will on them, and it was a dogfight, right? And it came down to, I'm very fortunate, I'm very blessed that they called that play for me. We had ran that play so many times earlier in the year. I had so many opportunities to score on similar plays. It just didn't work out. But we knew going into the week, as we were preparing for Ole Miss, I mean, when we do our goal line, period at the end of practice, when we're working in the red zone goal line period, we knew that if we got in that situation, we were going to call this play. Right. So I was prepared for it. I knew it was coming if we got in that situation, right? And we did. It just so happened we did get in that situation. And, you know, they called my number. And funny story, Stingray, about that play, we had prepared all week long for Ole Miss to be in this defense. This is what they run on the goal line. We prepared for it all week. So get up there. They call my number. I'm trying to stay calm. You know, I'm trying to relax. I know, like, hey, there's only one place that Anthony can throw this ball, and it's to me.
Yeah.
So I know either I'm getting the ball or he's going to take off running with it or he's going to throw it away. We get up to the line of scrimmage, and at the last minute, Ole Miss shifts, and they're not in the defense that we had originally prepped for.
Right.
So I kind of glanced over at Anthony, and he gave me the head nod like, hey, we're doing it. We're running it.
Right.
I didn't really know which guy. So I was supposed to do like a bluff block is what it is, where like I jump out like I'm cutting them and get up and run. I didn't know which one of the two guys to really bluff. So I just kind of jumped out at both of them, Stingray. I just jumped out, didn't really know what to do, and I just got up. And I'm going to tell you, Kenny Hilliard, if you go back and watch that play, if it wasn't for Kenny Hilliard, who was our running back on that play, he was our goal line tailback, he sold it. He took a fake handoff. He dove over the pile, and he brought everybody with him, and it just let me escape right out of the back. Ended up catching it. You know, a great moment, touchdown. Hey, it's something that myself and the LSU fans will remember forever. It was a great moment for me, man, and I'm very blessed and fortunate to have that opportunity.
Now, Logan, it is known as the Magnolia Bowl, and there is a little bit of a rivalry aspect to this game. Talk about when you were a player, talk about the rivalry that you felt like that it was when you had to face off against Ole Miss.
So going back to the Magnolia thing, Stingray,
yeah.
No one that I know, we don't really consider it the Magnolia Bowl.
Okay.
It is the Magnolia Bowl. I think that's more of an older generation thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, no, we just consider it LSU versus Ole Miss.
Okay.
So, I think, and hey, that could just be me. For all the listeners out there, I don't know. That's just me and, like, from my experience. Mm-hmm. But I think when you talk about that rivalry, I think more than anything, it just has so much history behind it and longevity behind it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've played Ole Miss second to every team that we've ever played. So we play Ole Miss as much as we've played anybody, essentially. We've also beat Ole Miss more than we've ever beat any other team that we've played.
Yeah.
But then when you talk about that rivalry, Stingray, it is – again, the longevity piece to it, but again, there's been so many big moments in these games that I think keep it relevant. You had the Billy Cannon punt return on Halloween. Then Odell Beckham did it, years later, essentially the exact same punt return in the, on the exact same field when Odell did it. Then I had the touchdown pass. Then Leonard Fournette broke the rushing record. And then vice versa, they've had their moments against us, right? I don't want to sit here and say that it's our biggest rivalry. It's not. And I think to some degree, Stingray, you could make the argument that every team in the SEC that plays each other, there's some sort of rivalry between everybody.
Yeah.
That's why the SEC is what it is. But again, just it is, it's always a great matchup. And I think to some degree, I think LSU fans kind of look at Ole Miss like a little brother to them.
Right.
And that's not, that's no disrespect to Ole Miss. I think just, you know, I mean, we won like 10 games in a row at one point. So the rivalry kind of died a little bit. But over the course of this past like 10 or so years, it's kind of went back to that ping pong, right? Where it's back and forth and the games are great. They're coming down to the wire. So it does make the rivalry much more intense. And if you don't think it's a rivalry, you better learn how to think it is, because we're stuck with Ole Miss for the next 4 years. So we're going to play them every year for the next 4 years.
So, Logan, we are up against our final break of the evening. When we come back on the other side of this break, we are going to dive into where you think LSU can take advantage of Ole Miss and where you're concerned that Ole Miss can take advantage of LSU. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will finish it up right after it.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, SEC Parlay Pick Contest presented by Brian Hart Construction. We'll talk to former NFL quarterback Hugh Millen. He'll preview Alabama and Georgia from his perspective. We'll talk to Lee Sterling. We'll talk to Brent Beard. And we'll talk to Ray Carnes, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for an accident on Lurleen Wallace at University Boulevard and north on Lurleen Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland. It's a 7-minute drive. Also, we have an accident eastbound on McFarland at University Boulevard. Watch for construction on Skyland Boulevard between I-359 and Buttermilk Road, and construction east on Old Birmingham Highway between 55th and Kennedy Mill Road.
Need to know what what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My LSU guest this evening is Logan Stokes, who is a former LSU tight end who played in 2013 and in 2014 and is a native of Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and had the game-winning touchdown against Ole Miss back in 2014 when they upset number 3 Ole Miss there in Tiger Stadium. Logan, there is a lot of talk, even with Brian Kelly going off on a reporter about the issue of this LSU offense. You are an offensive lineman there at tight end. Give us your thoughts, and especially because you saw this offense in person a couple of weeks ago when you went down to LSU versus Florida. Talk about what you've seen from this LSU offense and how they can fix it.
Well, first off, Stingray, I want to say I felt so bad for that reporter.
Yes.
I felt so bad for that reporter because he was just doing his job.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now, if Brian Kelly wouldn't have called on him, whoever he called on first was going to ask that question.
Yes.
It's a fair question, and it's a valid question. Okay, now going, just speaking on the offensive line, we have 5 brand new starters on the offensive line.
Yeah.
We had to replace 4 that went to the NFL. We went and got some out of the portal. We're replacing 5 guys up front. That is a very, very tough challenge. That's hard to do. So at this point, when we played Clemson, it wasn't pretty. We didn't run the ball well. So there, you can hit the concern button a little bit, but also no one really looked too far into it because, hey, there's only so much that you can do during training camp, right? During fall camp. You have a 4.5-week period. You're not going to win the national championship in that 4.5-week period. So you're going to have to work the kinks out, right? You've got a group of 5 guys up front. And again, I made the reference to you before. When you think about the offensive line, you have to look at them and think of them as 5 guys that are in a dance choreograph, right?
Right.
So if one guy is out of position or off rhythm, it throws everybody else off, and one missed block can screw up everything, right? And it takes a little bit of time for those guys to learn how to gel and get on the same page.
Yeah.
So we didn't look good against Clemson. Okay, we get it. Let's figure it out. We didn't look good against Louisiana Tech. Okay, so now we're, what's going on? We did not look good at all against Florida, which is where Brian Kelly, acted up a little bit, but I mean, we ran the ball for 44 yards up until Caden Durham broke it for 51 yards at the end of the game. The game was essentially over at that point. And then we didn't really look great last week against Southeastern. Now we put up 56 points, but we didn't look great. So I do think that it's a very fair and valid question. And I think the question that myself and all the fans and beat writers, everybody wants to know is, hey, is this a situation where we've got some guys that are banged up?
Yep.
Are they Is there some just jail issues here? Are we still trying to work it out? Are we still trying to figure it out? Or are we just not that talented? And I sure hope that it's not the latter, where we're not that talented, because we went out and spent a lot of money on some of these guys, right? And I think where the issue is arising now, Stingray, is we've had our struggles early on in the year, but we're not improving. So if you're not making progress, then it's a valid question to what are we doing? What is going on? Yeah. Right? So I think that is the big question. I think this week at Ole Miss is going to be a great opportunity to answer a lot of questions. And we're going to find out, hey, is it a gel issue? Is it, or is it just not that talented? I mean, Ole Miss, out of 136 teams, they're in the 120th. Like in the 120s in rush defense. They're terrible up front.
Yep.
So we have a great opportunity to prove ourselves this week and get back on track and run the football and show that, hey, we're getting better. We're working these kinks out. If we can't run the football, then, I mean, what are we going to do? Because at that point, then you start to question the talent level there.
Logan, when you look at this matchup on Saturday, where are you most concerned that Ole Miss can take advantage of your LSU Tigers?
So any time that you have a Lane Kiffin offense, I think you have to be concerned about that, right? I mean, he's known as one of the best play callers, arguably, to ever, like, coach the game. I don't know, and that may be a little bit dramatic, but right now in this college football era, he's one of the elite play callers. Yeah. So he's going to know how to score points. Now, where my questions are is, listen, so far, and what we all believe and what we all think is that LSU has a championship caliber defense,
yeah,
one of the top, if not the best defense in the country. We also have not seen a caliber of offense like what we're going to see on Saturday with Ole Miss.
Right.
So I think that is going to be a big question mark. And then secondly, it just has to go back to the offense, right? Is if we can't get the run game going early, and if we can't get, listen, we throw more screens than anybody in the SEC other than Georgia. We yeah. throw so many screen passes and we're not very good at them. We're dead last in play action pass. So we've got to figure out a way to move the football. That is yeah. the bottom line, right? We have to get the play action going. We've got to get the run game going, because if you can't get the run game going, you can't get the play action going.
Right.
So we need to get the run game going. We need to get all of these stud receivers that we brought in and all of this talent and firepower that we have on the outside and in the slot, we need to get these guys going.
Yeah.
And we need to get Nussmeier rolling too. And I know that he's been battling that torso injury. I know, you know, he's been banged up. He's getting healthy. This is going to be a week where he needs to step up. And Nuss needs to be Nuss. Our offensive line, we need to get the ball down the field. And I said it before and I'll say it again. At some point throughout this season, our offense is going to have to win the game for us. Our defense can't win it every game. We can't expect our defense to come up with 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
You go back to that Florida game, Stingray. Out of those 5 interceptions, what we put points up on?
10.
We put 10 points up. We only scored out of the 5, we only put points up like out of 3 of those. And one of them was that last pick of the game when we put points up on 2. We could have put up on 3, right?
Yeah.
So what happens if we don't get those picks, Stingray?
Yeah.
So I think the big question, and it's a very, very fair, and it's a very valid question, is, hey, how good is our offensive line? Are they good? And then Nussmeier, I mean, everybody had him predicted to win the Heisman at the beginning of the year, and now we're all kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So where Ole Miss, what I'm concerned about with Ole Miss is like, hey, they're going to put points up. I'm just telling you, they're going to put points up. And if they don't, I think it'll be a low-scoring game.
Logan, look, man, this has been an absolute blast. We would love to continue and have you on as a regular to talk college football because you give a different dynamic with being a former player. Go and enjoy watching LSU and Ole Miss. And I will leave you with this. Go Tigers.
I love it, Steve Ray. Thank you, man. Hey, listen, I enjoy it, man. I appreciate it. Anytime you want me on, just let me know, man. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, buddy. Man.
All right. So that is going to wrap up the Ole Miss and LSU preview show. Really do want to thank Logan Stokes right there, the former tight end from LSU, and David Johnson, Ole Miss insider, who joined us a little bit earlier. When we come back on the Friday evening edition of the Stingray Show, we are traveling down to College Station to talk about the matchup between the Gig'em Aggies and the Auburn Tigers. A&M is coming into this game off of a bye week, and Auburn is coming in pretty mad after the robbing that they did at the hands of the refs versus Oklahoma. We're going to dive into that matchup on Friday evening at 6 p.m., and we will see you then. If you're looking